Can I get an amen? We're all about this book. This is the Bible, folks. This is God's Word. And you know, we're about learning the Bible so that we can in turn go out and what? Live it. Learn it. Live it. Say that with me. Learn it. Live it. We want to learn it so we can live it, right? So it can make a difference in your life Monday morning. You know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We want the Bible to make a difference in your life. And one of the things that we do to help with that is every single Sunday, we give you a message handout when you come in. Now, if we missed you and you did not receive one, do not worry. Our ushers are coming down the aisle. Just raise your hand. They'll be glad to hand you one right now. Okay, down on the front here. Anyone else we missed on the way in, we'll just be glad to give you one. Okay, the rest of you, take your Bible and let's go to Acts 19. If you're using the Pew Bible, feel free to do that and grab the page there in your Pew Bible, page 1154, and that'll take you to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter number 19. How many of you, while you're turning there, how many of y'all traveled over the holidays? Raise your hand if you traveled at all. Wow, not very many. I'd say we all like Florida pretty good, wouldn't you? Wow, not very many traveled. We like Florida, especially in the winter. How many of you enjoy traveling? How many of you enjoy traveling? All right, so you like it, you just don't do it. All right, I got it. How many of you are homebodies? You just really prefer to stay home, really, over traveling. All right, a lot of you. Let me tell you this. Those of you who just raised your hand and you said you'd rather stay home, you would not like to have been the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, here in our text, is on his third missionary journey. He left his home church in Antioch in the country of Syria. Over 1,000 miles later, if we bring up the map, he's over here to the right in the Antioch of Syria. He ends up over 1,000 miles later. He enters here at Acts 19 in the city of Ephesus. If you find Ephesus there, this was the capital of Asia at that time. So over 1,000 miles later, he ends up in the capital of Asia in the city of Ephesus. This was not some podunk village. Ephesus was a city of several hundred thousand people, a metropolitan area. The city was really known for idolatry. Idolatry was rampant, and it focused around the temple of the goddess Diana. This temple at that time in the ancient world was among the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was right there in Ephesus. It was a building, they say, that was 400 by 200 feet. It was some 50 to 60 feet high. And the striking thing about this temple of Diana is that it had over 100 large pillars that held up the roof. Though it was a magnificent building, it was the center of great moral filth and corruption. Hundreds of temple prostitutes. I mean, it was a place of filth and moral degradation and wickedness. Also in the temple was an image that they thought had fallen down from Jupiter. Ephesus was a city in which idolatry had gripped this city. In your handout it says that Ephesus was a city in great spiritual need, yet it found itself in complete bondage to Satan. The evidence of satanic bondage was everywhere you turned. It was everywhere you turned, you saw evidence of satanic bondage. By the way, does that sound familiar to you? I said, does that sound familiar? How about our culture today? Man, we struggle, don't we? I mean, let's face it. Let's be honest. It is a struggle to do right and to live unto the Lord in the culture that we live in, isn't it? I mean, we've got a culture that's very much like this. When the Apostle Paul arrived on the scene, he began sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ there in the city of Ephesus. And here's what's cool, is 2 years into his ministry there, the shackles of Satan began to loose in people's lives. They began to be set free. Look with me at verse 20, Acts 19 and verse number 20. It says, "There so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. The word grow there means to enlarge. It means to increase. So the Word of God was increasing, enlarging, and the Bible says that it prevailed. The word prevailed means to exercise force. So that means that the gospel of Christ was permeating the city and was forcefully beginning to break down the strongholds of Satan in people's lives. Look at verse 18. It says, "And many that believed came." They believed the gospel that Paul preached about Jesus Christ. They believed and they came and they confessed and showed their deeds. In other words, man, they were getting right with God. Verse 19, "Many of them also which used curious arts." That's referring to idolatry, witchcraft, you know, involved in the occult. "They brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." That's what it was worth. Hey, the choir sung, "I Will Never Be the Same Again." Man, when you meet Jesus, doesn't He make a difference in your life? And these people are like, man, we just want to burn the bridge to our former past. We do not want to go back to that. We want to take all this garbage and just burn it because it does not belong in our life anymore. People were being loosed and people were being set free. I love the name, Shannon, of your ministry. We have a ministry that meets on Monday night and it's called Freedom Found. And I don't know who came up with that name, but I love that name, Freedom Found. And of course, you know, so many people in our culture, we struggle with addictions and we struggle with just, you know, things in our life that we just can't seem to get set free from. And the focus of Freedom Found is a Bible study that meets on Monday night. By the way, you're welcome to come. It meets at 6:30. And Brother Shannon goes through principles from the Bible that basically does exactly what was going on in Ephesus. It just sets you free. It just breaks the shackles and turns you loose so that you can be set free to live a fruitful life under the Lord and not be shackled to those addictive patterns and behavior in life. And, you know, I got great news for you today. You know, God was breaking people loose 2,000 years ago in Ephesus. But, man, I got great news for you, folks. You can be loose from the strongholds of Satan today. Today. God's still doing it. He's still doing it. You say, well, how is He doing that? How does He set people free? Well, I want us to examine our text. But this morning, I only want to give you one principle. And I want to focus on verses 1 through 7. So if you'll turn back there to verses 1 through 7. I really want to focus on the beginning part of this chapter. And I want to focus on the first principle that is so important if you want to be set free from the shackles of Satan, from those strongholds in our lives. And here's the principle. You ready? Let me give it to you. Number one, here's the crucial thing, is that if you want to be set free from the strongholds of Satan, you must possess the Spirit of God internally. You've got to have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. Now, I'm curious, how many of you have ever tried to iron wrinkles out of clothes with an iron that was not plugged in? Have you ever tried to do that? I'm raising my hand because I've done it. And I've got a hidden talent that not many people know about. The 9:30 crowd thought it was hilarious. But I have this hidden talent, and it's ironing. I'm serious. I am not the most domestic guy. My mother-in-law is on the front row, and she's shaking her head and attesting to that. I'm not the most domestic guy, am I? I'm not real good at, you know, things like doing laundry or, you know, or cooking. I can't cook. But man, if there's one thing I'm an all-star at, it's ironing. I am an all-star. I'm an all-pro when it comes to ironing. I ironed this shirt. Isn't it beautiful? I mean, look at it. I ironed that myself. And I love to iron. And it's relaxing and I just enjoy it, you know. Some of you are like, you need to come to my house. I know what you're thinking. But I do. I enjoy it. And every once in a while, I have tried to iron. And I'm thinking, this iron is getting old. It is not working anymore. It's just not getting the wrinkles out. And I'm pressing harder and harder, and I'm, you know. And I have actually got 3/4 of a way through a shirt. And then and I'll be like, Denise, this iron, did the boys drop the iron again? I don't know. Boys, did y'all drop the, because they iron too. My boys all iron. You know, it's just a thing we do. All of our boys iron. And they're like, no, we didn't drop it. This iron's not working. You guys must have dropped this iron again. Man, there's something wrong with this iron. And Denise finally gets tired of hearing me talk. So she comes in and she looks and she goes, it helps to plug it in, Dan. And I look, good point. That's a good point. Yeah, you're right. I guess I better plug it in. And I plug it in. And boy, isn't it amazing the difference that happens when you're plugged into the power source, you know? Without the electrical power to heat the iron internally, you're struggling in vain to smooth out the wrinkles. Now, can I submit to you, everyone in this building, we have areas of our lives that are like those wrinkles in that shirt. Maybe it's a violent temper. And man, you don't lose it often, but when you lose it, it's not a pretty sight. Maybe you struggle with a prideful, arrogant spirit. You're just arrogant. You can't say you're sorry. You won't admit when you're wrong. You think maybe you're better than others, or you worry about what everybody thinks about you. You just got a prideful, you struggle with that. Maybe it's an addictive habit. It's just, you know, and I think probably 80% of us in here probably struggle with some type of addictive, you know, habit or some kind of an addictive attitude, you know, that's wrong. It could be maybe you struggle with a bitter spirit. You just have trouble forgiving. You hold grudges. Maybe it's a past event that you just can't seem to get past. Talked about that last week, didn't we? Maybe it's a grieving spirit. You're grieving. And that grieving spirit has swallowed you up. All of us in here have struggles. We've all got wrinkles. Satan, the devil, can take any of those issues I named, and he can use those issues to bring a stronghold in your life. What do I mean by a stronghold? Here's what I mean. You feel trapped in a cycle of repetitive attitudes or actions that threaten to destroy you. You feel trapped in a repetitive attitude or action, a cycle, repetitive cycle, and it threatens to destroy you. The good news is this. God has provided a power source for you to be able to overcome those wrinkles in your lives. And that power source is called the Holy Spirit of God. Here in our text, the Apostle Paul encountered 12 Jewish men when he arrived in Ephesus. Look at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth," remember we were introduced to him last chapter, "Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus." So he enters Ephesus and finding certain disciples. We learn down in verse 7 it was 12 men. I believe it was 12 Jewish men, or 12 men that were in Judaism, the religion of Judaism. They were Jewish men. And after Paul talks to these guys for a while, when he gets in Ephesus, Paul perceived that these were men of faith and that they believed God's word, but he sensed that there was something missing in their life. Look at verse 2. He said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." So it's kind of like, remember Apollos that we studied a few weeks ago? And you remember that guy Apollos who was mighty in the Scriptures and he believed in God and he preached? But you remember Aquila and Priscilla, that godly couple, had to get him aside and they had to bring him up to date with up-to-date information because he didn't have a complete knowledge? And that's kind of what we got going on here. Paul meets these 12 guys. And he senses that they're men of faith, that they believe in God, but right away he detects there's something missing in their life. There's something missing. He asks them about whether they have the Holy Spirit, and they're like, "Huh? What are you talking about? We haven't even heard about that. What are you talking about?" They hadn't even heard of the Holy Spirit. The only biblical instruction that they had was on the other side of the cross. Look at verse 3. It says, "And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized?" If you've never heard in the Lord Jesus, what were you baptized? And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Well, wait a minute. John was the forerunner of Christ. John came before Jesus Christ to announce the coming of the Messiah. Now look up here, and I want you to imagine that this pulpit right here represents the cross that Jesus died on. The crosswork where he died for our sins. And I want you to imagine that pulpit represents the cross. All right? Paul is over here on this side of the cross. He knows all about Jesus dying for his sins and rising up from the dead. These 12 men, they're over here on the other side of the cross. And all the only information they know is the Old Testament scriptures. And then they know about John the Baptist coming and announcing that the Messiah was coming. And that's where they left off. That's all they knew, kind of like Apollos that we studied. So they're over here on the other side of the cross. So that's why Paul asked them. He said, "Unto what then were you baptized?" The reason why he asked them about baptism is because you remember on this side of the cross, right after Jesus rose from the dead, about 50 days afterwards, Peter got up and preached to Israel on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And do you remember how a Jew at that time received the Holy Spirit? They had to repent of crucifying their Messiah. They had to believe the apostles' message. And once they repented and they had to be baptized by the apostles, then they would receive the Holy Spirit of God. So that's why Paul said, "Unto what then were you baptized?" When they said John's baptism, that let Paul know they're back there on the other side of the cross. They don't know about Jesus. You see, water baptism was essential and it was required for a Jew to get the Holy Spirit at that time. Now, that's not the case today, but that was then. See? So now Paul understands. Well, they don't have the Holy Spirit of God because they've never heard of and they've never believed on Jesus Christ and what he did for them and how he died on the cross for their sins and how he rose from the dead. They don't know about any of that. So Paul gives them further enlightenment. They trust Christ and they said, "Now we want to be baptized again in the name of Jesus." Look at verse 4. "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." Well, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then look at verse 6. It says, "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Now look up here. As a God-appointed apostle, Paul laid his hands on them, and at that moment, they received the Holy Spirit. They miraculously spoke in different languages that they didn't know, and they prophesied. Now, what is the doctrinal significance for us Gentiles living in the church age today? Well, really none. You see, four times in the book of Acts, which we've been studying, four times people groups receive the Holy Spirit of God, and it never happens the same way twice. Why? What have I taught you? The book of Acts is a transitional book. It's like a bridge. It takes you from this side of the cross, law, over here like a bridge. Acts takes you over here to grace. Acts is a bridge that takes you from God's program for Israel, and it's a bridge that takes you over to God's program for us, the church, the body of Christ. Acts is a bridge. It takes you from God's kingdom program for Israel. He sets that aside, and Acts shows you how that happened, and it brings you and it lands you over here in the dispensation of grace, the church, the body of Christ, and the mystery program, because the prophetic program has been set aside. A bridge, you don't park on a bridge. A bridge is meant to take you from point A to point B. And so many of the supernatural and many of the miraculous signs that you see in the book of Acts, they were signs to Israel of various things at that time period. But when God set Israel's program aside, those miraculous signs and events, they just kind of eventually faded away because their purpose was fulfilled. Now, here's my question for you, though. And this is really the important thing that we need to think about. What about the Holy Spirit of God today? Does God still give His mighty Holy Spirit to people today? Does He? Okay, question. Do you have to be baptized in water to get God's Holy Spirit? No. No. Acts is a bridge, remember? You don't park on a bridge. And many people got the Holy Spirit in different ways. So, but you know what? No, you don't have to. Let me ask you this. Do you have to speak in tongues and do some kind of miracle signs to get the Holy Spirit today? No. Question. Do you have to have somebody like me or somebody come and lay hands on you to get the Holy Spirit? No. Well, then how do we get the Holy Spirit today? Let me show you. Let me show you. I want you to go to your handout. And before I give you the next blank, I want you to go to the bottom of your handout. Look at Ephesians 1, 12 and 13. And we're going to go back up and get that blank in a minute. It says here, Paul, now look up here before we read this. Paul is writing to local churches just like Crossroads. He's writing to Gentile people like us. He's writing to churches on this side of the cross after the book of Acts. So the bridge is completed. We are now here in the dispensation of grace. And here's what he writes. Look at Ephesians 1, 12 and 13. That we should be to the praise of His glory. And then I want you to underline this, who first, underline it, trusted in Christ. Have you trusted Christ today? It says, in whom ye also trusted, you trusted Christ, after that you heard the word of truth, somebody had to tell you about it, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, didn't say baptized, didn't say after you had hands laid on you. It didn't say after you spoke in tongues. It says after you believed, you were sealed with that what? Holy Spirit of promise. According to that passage, what do I have to do to get the Holy Spirit? Believe on Jesus Christ. I got to trust Christ. I got to trust what He did on the cross for me. He died for my sins. He made a complete payment. He rose from the dead. And the moment I trust Christ, I don't trust myself, I don't trust my church membership, I don't trust my good works. The moment I trust Christ to save me, He gives me His Holy Spirit. If you turn your handout over and you look at 2 Corinthians 1, notice it says, now He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the what? Spirit. Where did He put His Holy Spirit? In our hearts. Wow. Now I want you to go back and let's get the blank on the other side, okay? Look what it says. The Apostle Paul taught the church that believers today receive God's Spirit the moment they trust Jesus Christ and simply believe on Him. When Cornelius, a Gentile, believed on Christ, at that very moment, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of him. Before he ever got baptized, before he ever spoke in tongues, before he ever did anything, the moment Cornelius believed on Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of him. And I want you to listen to me now. The moment you trust Christ, and if you've never trusted Christ, you need to do that today. But the moment you trust Christ, we're not on this side of the cross anymore. We're not on the bridge anymore of Acts. We're over here in the church age. And Paul wrote to churches and he said, I want you to know, the moment you trust what Jesus did for you, the moment you put your faith and trust in Him, the moment you believe on Him, the moment that you trust Christ and what He did on the cross for you, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He comes to live inside of you. Folks, you do not have to be baptized. You don't have to have hands laid on you. You don't have to run around the building 10 times. You don't have to climb the flagpole. Aren't you glad? All you got to do is believe on Jesus Christ. That's all you got to do. Believe on Christ. Trust Him. If you've never done that, at the end of the service, we'll give you an opportunity to do that. But the moment you trust Christ, the Holy Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead comes to live in you. Look at the verse in your handout. It says in Romans 8, look at Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell, and I want you to circle that, in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth where? Underline that, in you. I want you to get that statement in your handout that says, if you have believed on Christ, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead now lives in your inner spirit. What a power source we all possess. Did y'all catch what I just said? The Holy Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead has come to live in us. Folks, you don't get any more powerful than that. Is there any hope for me? Is there any way that I can overcome these addictive habits? Is there any way I can overcome this pride, this arrogance? Is there any way I can overcome this bitter spirit and these grudges that I hold? Is there any way I can overcome the grief that's threatening to overwhelm me? And the answer is, yes, you can if you're saved, because you got the Spirit of God living inside of you. In your handout it says, if the Spirit of God raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, He can give you the power to overcome those destructive habits, addictions, thought patterns, and attitudes that threaten to destroy you. He can give you the victory. You know, there's a verse there in your handout. I want you to look at it with me. And I like, every once in a while, I love to hear the church of Jesus Christ just read the Bible together. So would you look with me in your handout at Galatians 5:16. And I want everybody to say this verse with me. Let's say it together out loud. Ready? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that a promise? Yes. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you to help you daily to overcome those things in your life that threaten to destroy you. You know, in the context of that verse, I want to read something to you. This is what I call a dirty laundry list right here, buddy. It says, see if any of this sounds familiar. And I'm sure it will. All right? Probably one or more of these may hit you right there. You know, they do me, and they'll hit you right there. And it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's all dealing with just, you know, moral issues. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, anger, inner anger, strife, just a contentious spirit, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Revelings would be like equivalent to just like the nightclub, party scene, drugs, all that stuff. You know, you just get into revelings. He says, these are the works of the flesh. And in that context, he says, but if you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit of God. And if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then you know what he turns around and says next? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, real joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You're temperate. You're able to control those things. You see, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you to provide you the power to overcome the destructive sins of the flesh. And then what he does is he replaces them, those destructive thought patterns and those destructive attitudes and actions. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to replace those things with pleasant, edifying fruit that will change your life and positively impact other people. That's what the Holy Spirit does in your life. He lives in you daily to help you do that. Remember the illustration of the iron? I mean, I could sit there and I could press harder and harder and longer, but it isn't going to work if it's not plugged into the power source. When you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you and you yield to Him daily, you are plugged into the power source that enables you to overcome the strongholds of Satan and iron out those wrinkles in your life. I knew a man that was Shannon, been a great candidate for Freedom Found. This man that I knew had a lot of bondage in his life. He had dabbled in the occult. He was part of kind of just the whole rebellious hippie movement. You know, he played in a rock band, sung songs to glorify Satan. He was involved in different things that got him in trouble with the police, just immoral behavior, just all kinds of issues, just rebellion. And this young man that had, you know, again, struggled with drugs and alcohol, all these things, this young man, believe it or not, became a mentor in my life. You say, what? This man that I just described for you wandered into a college and career singles type of night that a church was having on a Saturday night. Somebody had invited him and he went. And that night, he was convicted of his sin. He went forward and he trusted Jesus Christ to be his Savior. And he went home that night and he woke up his parents and he told his parents he'd gotten saved. They thought, oh, that's just another whim he's going through. They didn't even know what that meant. And all of a sudden, I began to see radical changes in his life. His life was completely changed. He was set free from that destructive behavior because he now had the Holy Spirit of God living inside of him. He became a mentor in my life. And who I just described for you is my older brother, Steve Proctor, who now pastors a church in Missouri. Folks, I want you to know God's still changing lives today. And I don't care what you're struggling with, God can iron those wrinkles out through His Spirit. He can give you that victory. I'm telling you, He can give you that victory. The Spirit of God, does He live inside of you today? These men in our text, those 12 men, they had to come to grips with the fact that, yes, we're religious. Yes, we believe in God. Yes, we believe what John the Baptist said. But they had to come to grips with, do we believe in Jesus Christ? Do we really want God's Spirit? Or are we content to just be religious? Are we content to just believe in God? And they had to come to the point where they desired to believe on Christ, and they desired God's Spirit to come and live inside of them. And they made a decision for Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit came to live within them. Today, you've got to make that same decision, don't you? Do you believe on Christ? Will you believe on Christ? Will you trust Him? And in your handout it says, if you desire the awesome power, source of the Holy Spirit, all you must do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him and Him alone to save you from your sins. And if you are saved today, you need to realize the Holy Spirit of God lives in you to give you the victory. And whatever it is, you need to pinpoint what you're struggling with. You need to turn that over to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to fill you and help you. And He lives inside of you to give you the victory.